It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios. Welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4 to 1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Who's your favorite foreign leader?
Who's my favorite?
Just name anywhere in the country, any one of the continents, any country. Name one foreign leader that you respect and look up to. Anybody.
Mine was Shimon Peres.
No. Okay, now, I'm talking about living. Go ahead. You got to do this. Anywhere, any continent. Canada, Mexico, Europe over there, Asia, South America, Africa. Name a foreign leader that you respect.
I guess I'm having an Aleppo moment in the former president of Mexico.
But I'm giving you the whole world.
I know.
Anybody in the world you like. Anybody. Pick any leader.
The former president of Mexico.
Which one?
I'm having a brain.
Well, name anybody.
Fox. Zadio.
All right. That's enough. But I wanted to start with something funny today because that's the last time you may laugh during the show today. But that was Gary Johnson on with Chris Matthews having another brain freeze. Thank you, marijuana. Man, oh, man, do you make our politicians smart and all our people here in Washington where it's now legalized. This is our future. Well, you know what? This is if you're getting older, that's your future. But, you know, now young people want to forget things, too. So they're taking marijuana. It's, of course, a lot of old hippies are well ahead of them. And it's just amazing. You know, if you go to Colorado, you see them wandering around with their long beards. And it's like they've been walking the streets, you know, for their lifetime. It's, not a fan. But that's Gary Johnson. Third-party candidate for president talk. He can't think of a world leader. Can't having an Aleppo minute. I can't remember. So that's just sort of funny. By the way, Sandy Rios with you here in the morning. I have so much to tell you, so I'm just going to jump in. Stuff is just in my inbox even as I speak, so I'm going to try to be as clear as I can. I want to start with this clip from Doug McElway, who tells us about what Congress is celebrating they did yesterday. Let's listen.
House Democrats suddenly wanted to include $170 million in funding for the Flint, Michigan water crisis in the continuing resolution. The trouble was the Senate had already passed a separate bill, a water resources bill, which included that money, and that the House water resources bill did not include that money. Well, late today, the House leadership assured House Democrats that they will include that $170 million in the water resources bill. The debate will happen late tonight, 10, 11 o'clock p.m. The details will be worked out in conference committee in the lame duck session. That money will be provided by the end of this year. Everybody's happy. Everybody gets to get out of here late tonight and go home to campaign for the November 8th elections.
Wow. You know, aren't you excited that your Congress, you know, wrapped up in what he also said, which I'm not going to play because I want to talk to you about other things, is they overrode the president's veto on the bill that would give money to 9/11 victims. Now, I'm not talking about the content of that, although people agree that that's a very dangerous precedent. But almost 100% of the House and the Senate voted for that bill to override the president's veto. So they're taking a victory lap on that. Yay! Oh, man, look at us. We overrode the president's veto on this bill. Of course, never mind the fact that last night they passed a CR, continuing resolution, short-term funding bill, which is funding everything the president wants, from refugees to illegal orders to the highest funding for Planned Parenthood ever in the country to you fill in the blanks. Oh, and the other thing, I forgot this one small thing. They also failed to stop the turnover of the internet to international interests Friday night at midnight. So, we're going to spend a great deal of this show talking about this today. Daniel Horowitz will join me shortly, but let me try, if I can, to get to a few other things before I do that. Several serious things are happening around the country and around the world. Actually, let me start with that. Just in, Facebook in Germany has deleted 100,000 hate posts in just 1 month. So YouTube removed 96% of the posts flagged by this German organization that wants to censor 84% of Facebook posts. So you might think, well, you know, things are bad in Germany. They have all these migrants coming in from Middle Eastern countries, and they're having their streets are really, people are running amok. There are more rapes, and it's just, it's not a good scene. So you don't want the Islamists getting on Facebook and, you know, saying all their Islamist things. And that's what they're talking about, right? Well, turns out, no, that's really not what's being removed. Let's see. Since Angela Merkel's decision to allow more than 1.6 million migrants into Germany, the government has taken an incredibly hard line on free speech on the internet. Police have conducted raids on the homes of people suspected to have made posts critical of migrants. Moving on, in France, the French government has proposed legislation that would prohibit internet campaigns to dissuade women from having abortions. The legislation would introduce criminal penalties of 2 years imprisonment and fines for anyone who disseminated, up to $33,000, by the way, for anyone who disseminated inaccurate information with the intent of persuading women not to abort their children. The proposal is a response to a report that found that a significant increase in the influence of pro-life internet sites, which significantly hinder access to reliable information and quality. So in Germany, we have on Facebook, now granted, that's not, Facebook is a private entity, so it's a little different, but you see the drift and you see where we're going. On Facebook, you cannot, in Germany, criticize Islam, or you might have your home raided. In France, if you have a pro-life website or a website that tells girls an alternative on abortion or tries to dissuade them from having them, you could be fined $33,000. So when we talk about the importance of maintaining control over the internet, you understand, don't you, where this is going. And I, just before I got on the show, let me just see if I can make this clear, because I'm reading it for the first time, too. You have to understand that Senator Mitch McConnell in the Senate, almost all of them, there are a handful of really good guys, as always, a handful, have led, certainly on the Republican side, have done a tremendous amount of deception on this. They, Ted Cruz and Mike Lee, have been working they've been waving the flags on this transfer for probably more than a year. So then other senators recently, I think Ron Johnson and a couple of others, I don't want to name names and make a mistake, but a couple of others have joined on, and we actually were optimistic that we could stop it. But then we realized this was really just a sham, because we know now that Senator McConnell, because he hates Ted Cruz so much, that's one of the big reasons, would not stop this handover, because can't have a victory for Senator Ted Cruz. He was the champion on this, and we can't let that happen. Much better to let the internet go into international control and possible, likely, censorship and banning of many of us. That's not so bad to Senator McConnell. But stopping Senator Cruz from having any credit on this, that now that, ladies and gentlemen, is important, and there's more to it. As a matter of fact, just this morning, this is a letter from the Technology CEO Council. Now, remember that all the big major tech companies are supporting the left. They're supporting, they're, you know, tied at the hip with Barack Obama, and they're supporting Hillary Clinton. So they've written this letter to Paul Ryan, Nancy Pelosi, Mitch McConnell, Harry Reid. On behalf of the members of the Technology CEO Council, we write in support of Congress' reported decision not to block the planned transition of functions for oversight to ICANN's stakeholder community. It's good policy for both the United States and for the global internet community, et cetera, et cetera. Which, by the way, my friends on the inside are telling me will translate to lots of money from tech companies to Republicans. And that might have something to do with the fact that they did not stop this transfer. You know, who cares about whether the internet will be censored or whether, you know, our personal, moral viewpoints will be stopped from being expressed. I'm not saying as of midnight Friday night. Don't misunderstand me. This will take time. But we know, because of the examples I just gave you, very stark examples, what other nations are doing. And when this goes into international control, it's China and Russia, which are part of ICANN. We know what's going to happen. Doesn't take, you know, a brilliant person to figure that out. And yet our Senate, hey, listen, they overrode a veto for the president. Wow, look at them. Look what they did. Meanwhile, they let this go by. And this is another alert that just came in my box. I haven't even read it yet. It says Arizona AG Bronovich leads multi-state coalition to block Fed's internet transfer. It's Bronovich. Arizona Attorney General Mark Bronovich, along with attorneys general in Texas, Oklahoma, and Nevada, filed a federal lawsuit Wednesday night to stop the Obama administration from ceding U.S. government trusteeship of the internet to a new unregulated non-governmental international body. The lawsuit challenges the constitutionality of transfer and alleges violations of the First Amendment. Well, that's all I have time to read for on right now, but you can see, you will understand now when you hear over the weekend talk about this, assuming you do. You know, I haven't even heard Fox talking about this. It's like it's a non-issue because this is all about money, big business, and I would say certainly the disdain for Senator Ted Cruz, who led the charge on this. It's just amazing to me. And now I want to get into something else that relates to us very directly. I've told you that we are in great danger in terms of our religious freedom, and I want to repeat to you an article I read to you recently. In fact, we should put this back on our Facebook page. It is "The Obama Administration Condemns Religious Liberty" by Edmund Kozak. And this is what it says. The report, which is alarming, just came out a few days ago. I reported on it when it came out. Peaceful coexistence, reconciling non-discrimination principles with civil liberties. And this is what Martin Castro, chairman of the commission, said in a statement. The phrases religious liberty and religious freedom remain code words for discrimination, intolerance, racism, sexism, homophobia, Islamophobia, Christian supremacy, or any form of intolerance. That from the chairman of the Civil Rights Commission of Barack Obama. You think this isn't headed in a bad direction? You'd think things are not going to accelerate as soon as the day after the election, January, if Mrs. Clinton is elected and goes into office, you think that it's not going to be all holes barred, coming after people who hold to traditional Christian beliefs. Mrs. Clinton herself said deeply held religious beliefs will have to be altered. You'll just have to change. You have to get over that on abortion and on gay marriage and whatever else. You'll just have to get past it. So this is our future world, and this is what is at stake in this election. And could I also add, to repeat what we talked about yesterday, there is a brand new letter that is going out, went out yesterday or maybe evening of the day before, a call to repentance and renewal, calling out pastors and leaders and believers who have assisted the anti-Christian progressive political movement in America, taking money from George Soros, doing the bidding of the left, turning a blind eye to abortion providers and selling baby parts, and tearing down the borders and just deconstructing the fabric of society, the family, allowing gay marriage and looking the other way, and embracing, once again, the biblical perspective, which is life-giving in every way, in this world and in the one to come. And if you would like to sign this letter, I hope that you will. Go to AmericanEvangelicals.com, AmericanEvangelicals.com, read the letter. It's very inspiring. We need to draw a line in the sand, and this is it. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your healthcare with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger. A group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org. healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
On October 6th and 7th, College of the Ozarks in beautiful Branson, Missouri will host the Pensmore National Symposium on Religious Liberty. Confirmed speakers include Dr. Ben Carson, Liberty Institute President Kelly Shackelford, and from the American Family Association, Abraham Hamilton III.
The founders enshrined religious liberty as the first among the freedoms protected in the Bill of Rights because they recognized that the prosperity of the American Republic rose or fell with its religious freedom.
As our nation spirals into a deeper moral pit, this event may reconnect attendees with the intents of the Founding Fathers. It's high time Christians did something to preserve our liberties before they're lost forever. The Pensmore National Symposium on Religious Liberty is designed to inspire participants with a greater resolve through better understanding of the issue. The cost is $50 per person, and student admission is free. More information is available at afr.net.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and Commentary next. Truett McConnell University is training students to love the Lord, love the Word, love the Church, and love the lost. Scripture is the foundation for everything they do. It's who they are, preparing students not just for career, but to fulfill God's high calling on their lives. Truett McConnell University offers a wide array of bachelor's programs, some online, and they also have an outstanding Master of Arts in Theology. So if you'd like to schedule a visit to Truett's campus in the North Georgia Mountains, visit truett.edu. FBI Director James Comey says the man who stabbed 10 people in a Minnesota mall appears to have been inspired by radical Islam. ISIS had taken responsibility for the attack, calling Tahir Adnan a soldier of the Islamic State. The FBI says they're still sorting out which group might have inspired the attack. But once again, an Islamic radical may have committed jihad on American soil. How many more lives must be lost before our government starts taking this threat seriously? How much more blood must be shed? President Obama's cowardice and capitulation has put all of us in grave danger. The jihadists are no longer content to attack New York City or Washington, D.C. Now they're coming after the heartland. There's an untold number of radicals who live among us, lurking in our neighborhoods, and as we learned on September 17th, our shopping malls. So stay alert, America, and be safe. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you. Let me just remind you that our Share-a-thon, with which we fund this network, is coming up in October. And one of the fun things that we do is ask you to call in and let us know just how God has used American Family Radio in your life. What did you hear that really motivated or encouraged you or inspired you? And also just, you know, think it'll be different for each of you. Maybe I know some of you have told me when I see you personally that you'd never gotten involved before, but for the first time you have really gotten involved in your communities. You started paying attention and you've been trying to make a difference. So just if you have a story about the intersection of your life with American Family Radio, we'd love to hear it. We truly would. The phone number is 877-876-8893. So just call and it will help you. It'll take you through the prompts and don't be nervous. And every year, honestly, when I hear these, it is such an encouragement. So I want to thank you in advance for your stories and your calls. All right. Well, last night, many of you were actually having a life. Congress was up to no good. Let's listen.
In a move that averts a shutdown, Congress has passed a bill to keep the government running through December 9th. In a late-night vote, House Republicans agreed to a stopgap measure that addresses the drinking water crisis in Flint, Michigan. That was a major obstacle in negotiations. The spending bill also includes $1.1 billion in funding to address the Zika virus, and it extends $500 million in emergency flood relief for Louisiana.
Wow, isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? We averted a government shutdown last night. I'm cheering this morning, and I know my next guest certainly is too. You already know how I feel about it. We've spent a great portion of time already talking about the exchange of the control of the internet to ICANN. But Daniel Horowitz joins me this morning. He, of course, is one of the leading writers of Conservative Review, one of the editors. Seems like only yesterday, Daniel, that Conservative Review was brand new. I remember bragging about you and your work in some meetings here in Washington when you were just starting. How long ago was that?
Yeah, it's great to be with you, Sandy. You know, it's funny. Just yesterday, we were saying to each other that was the two-year anniversary of our first article we put up. And it was just ironic and almost eerie. We're talking about how so much chicanery goes on in the Capitol, and our mission was to bring the inside to the outside, so yeah. Everyone will know. So I guess 2 years later, we're doing exactly that.
Yeah, nothing
unfortunately, is. Things haven't gotten better.
No, and in many ways worse. And by the way, let me also include that Daniel is the author of a new book called Stolen Sovereignty. Stolen Sovereignty, a great book about much of the things he writes about, and so you can certainly get that at Conservative Review or Amazon or whatever your chosen place is. Daniel, all right, so they are telling us that, wow, they averted a government shutdown. Tell us, if you can, what exactly they did pass last night so that they could get on with their campaigning at home. What did they give us?
Well, what they didn't give us is averting a government shutdown. We do have a government shutdown. We have a systemic government shutdown where our system isn't working. We have a civilization shutdown. And this is the sad thing. I'll be honest with you, Sandy. I'm even impressed. I'm impressed that, I mean, Democrats, I always call them the Navy SEALs of political warfare. Republicans are the Navy SEALs of capitulation. I mean, it takes effort to do what they did. They somehow managed to give Democrats everything they wanted plus interest in both houses within one day, and then got out of town like a bunch of bank robbers escaping. Our work is done here. So they basically gave them every single thing they wanted. There was not, just picture all the crazy things that have been going on that in the federal government that you wanted to fund. You have the transgender mandate, you have funding for Planned Parenthood, you have the refugee increase, the Iran ransom, obviously the internet giveaway you've been talking about. You have the DACA amnesty, you have sanctuary cities. There's so much going on. You're not going to win everything when you have divided government, but you want to win up to, you know, around 50% of those. That was never even a point of contention. They never planned on fighting on a single one of those things. You know what kept the bill open all week? McConnell gave Reid 99.5% of what he wanted, but the Democrats are so good at what they do, they said, hey, this is not good enough. They wanted extra funding for Flint, Michigan, for the water crisis. Now, mind you, the state and local governments, it's their responsibility. They have the funding, plus existing programs through FEMA, through emergency programs. They have the funding. But what Democrats do is they take every new crisis and say, you need a new program. So they weren't going to give in, but they gave in on that. They put in a separate bill. So they passed a massive CR that not only funds every last Obama project with no limitation, not only does it fund the spending levels that Obama's White House wanted, but it adds new Zika funding that contains funding for the Planned Parenthood affiliate in Puerto Rico. So they gave them that. It contains, this is actually a separate bill, the Water Resources Bill, $9 billion in new pork projects, plus this ridiculous bailout for Flint, Michigan. And worst of all is, look, if you're going to capitulate on everything, at least just leave us alone. Don't have a lame duck session. Have the budget expire sometime next year so the next president can deal with it. Instead, they gave Reid the final thing he wanted, having it expire December 9th, which means they have to come back for a lame duck, which gives them the excuse to pass a lot of bad stuff like criminal justice reform, jailbreak, and all sorts of spending bills. This was an unbelievable capitulation. I've never seen anything like it.
And it's not just McConnell. It's Paul Ryan in the House. And Daniel, do you have the numbers yet on how many Republicans refused to vote for this?
I have a piece actually going up any minute. It's going to be a conservative review titled Congressional Bank Robbery, Republicans Cave on Everything and Leave. So basically, it passed in the Senate. Only 14 Republicans voted no. So that's 14 out of 54. In the House, only 75 Republicans voted no. That's 30% of House Republicans. I mean, again, this is solidifying Obama's entire legacy and enabling worse stuff to happen in the lame duck. It's hard to understate the importance of what went on. And what, you know what's so ironic, Sandy? Why did they do this? Because they just wanted to get out of town. Why did they want to get out of town? So they can campaign. Campaign for what?
Well, there's... I'm not sure where to start. I have so many things in my head to say. Let me make a couple of points, Daniel. Let me bring in some good news, because I know you're not expecting this, and I'm not expecting to say good news. But you know what? I would say this. Having 14 Republicans vote no is progress. We used to have maybe three. So we have made gains in the Senate, even though we're still losing. Now, the rest of it is really bad news there, because the outcome is the same. You know, I was in a meeting yesterday with Congressman Tim Huelskamp, who described how House leadership spent $2 million in his race in Kansas in the last 22 days to defeat him because he had opposed John Boehner, because he's an honest man who speaks out about this out-of-control spending, and he's fought the leadership, and so they targeted him. And they defeated him. They tried to do that with several others, as you and I both know. But they did succeed with Tim Huelskamp. There is real consequence when 14 Republicans vote no and 75 Republicans vote no. There's real consequence, isn't there, Daniel?
This is so perverse. Think about this. You have two teams, and anyone who doesn't score points for the other team, you defeat them. I mean, it's so counterintuitive, but it's exactly these type of votes, these type of moments. They want yes men, but the irony is, see, whereas Democrats, when they run in primaries, when they get involved in primaries, they want yes men to advance the liberal agenda. When Republicans want yes men, it's yes men to their capitulation to the Democrat agenda. Let me say this. I don't know how much longer we can go on. When you have, picture you have a football team, and you have more than half of your offensive linemen, when they get the ball, they run in the opposite end zone or they tackle the guys that are trying to make plays. I don't know how you make a play, much less even finish the game or the season that way.
You know, Daniel, your article, in fact, we'll put this on our Facebook page, The Stupid Party. This is the GOP's hill to die on, ? And we're going to put that on our Facebook page. But I would sort of argue something slightly different. I don't think stupid captures it anymore. I think this is something much more insidious. And I want to mention something. This is inside information, but I'm going to share it because this is an illustration. My understanding is the inside baseball game on this funding for Flint, Michigan, which they promised the Democrats in the lame duck session. They went to great lengths, said, no, we're not going to do it here. We're going to save it, but we're going to give you what you want in the lame duck session. Because I understand that Kevin McCarthy, one of the leaders, has a water bill out of California, and they want to do a deal. So they want to save it for the lame duck session. So Kevin McCarthy, the leader, one of the leaders, can get his deal in California while they give the deal to Flint, Michigan. So everybody gets money. And that's really how base this has become. And Daniel, our insider friends were talking yesterday about how the tech industries, there's so much money involved in the Republican leadership allowing the transfer of the internet to the ICANN body, because there are benefits, shall we say, to doing this. So this is not just stupidity. This is really dangerous. It's like, who's worse, the person who's just outright evil and working against their country, or is it the nice guy who acts like he sort of likes the country, but in the background, in the back room when he's talking deals, does the exact same thing as the bad guy? He just acts like he's not doing it. Which is worse?
You know, look, I've heard the same thing, obviously, about the water bill. There's a lot of cases with that. And by the way, this is why we believe fundamentally that things like water projects, things like surface transportation, education, it's got to be devolved, the revenue, the tax money, and the subsequent responsibility has to be devolved to the state. Because otherwise, you have, when you have a 50-state system tied up in Washington in one bill, everyone has their own special interest that influences, and it doesn't just influence the bill, it influences the entire the entire landscape. This influenced the budget CR as well. It's horse trading. So when you give it to the states, you take that away, and they sink or swim on their own merits, what they need, the projects they need. And with the exception of a couple things that are national in scope, you give it all back to the states. This is what Madison wanted when he said all in matters of internal order will be governed by the state, and the feds will just deal with national defense. And it's funny, he said during times of peace, you barely hear from the federal government. But it's something inherent, and that breeds corruption. It's not incidental. You'll have your Bernie Sanders populist liberals will say, they'll rail against corruption, but they don't understand it's not something that, well, I'll have big government, but I'll try to get rid of corruption. It's part and parcel of their system of governance. And that's what the only difference is, whereas Democrats actually believe in their stuff, Republicans, like you said, don't believe in anything. They're not liberal or conservative. They are for pay for play. So the country could be going to hell in a handbasket. You could have the internet giveaway. You could have the refugee increase and all this stuff, Iran and the criminal aliens. It doesn't bother them as long as they get their last morsel of pork.
Yes, we should hasten to add that there are some champions who are still Republicans who are not like this. And I think you would say the ones, I don't know what the names are, but the 14 Republicans in the Senate that voted no, the 75 Republicans in the House that voted no, it took a lot of courage. And those are the kind of men we need serving us. Daniel, I was tweeting yesterday. I was pretty mad about this. I am. I'm still mad. I'm angry. I am so angry. And I said something about we must stop them. And so people said to me, how can we stop them? And I'm going to just say my piece, and then I want to know your thoughts. We have to stop them in the primaries, because the game they're playing is that they run someone against the 14 Republicans and the 75 Republicans, or like the Tim Hughes camps. They run a candidate against them. They pour tons of money. I'm talking about Republicans against Republicans. And they paint the incumbent as a right wing, like a Ted Cruz. Man, he's good on borders. He's good on abortion. And this newcomer, they'll pick out something and claim that he's a liberal. And it works every single time. And my caution to people is that it's kind of people always want to vote for their incumbent. John McCain just got reelected. Mitch McConnell got reelected. They had good challengers. But people just, I don't know what they're thinking. So they have to stop that. That was abbreviated version. But what do you think, Daniel? What would you say to people who are saying, well, what can we do?
Sandy, I don't know if you're going to like this. We've been on together talking about a lot of primaries over the last number of years. I really question our ability to win these primaries. I mean, like you said, they don't run on their views. They run on our views. For example, in a case like this, they'll pick something out in the bill, and they'll say, oh, you voted against energy expansion. When you vote against a bad budget, they'll find something in it, and no one will understand the context. They'll literally flip the tables on you, and they'll do it knowing what the voters want to hear, and they have more money to do it. You can't play in a rigged system, and I really believe ultimately we need a new party. At some point, we're going to have to realize that, and I think that time is really coming.
Hey, Daniel, can you stay with me a few more minutes?
Absolutely.
Okay, I want to continue that topic, but I also wanted to switch our discussion to this whole business of the transgender confusion, what happened in Michigan, and all the other things that are just coming our way like a tsunami. So much at stake. Daniel Horowitz, my guest, the author of Stolen Sovereignty, editor of Conservative Review. We'll be right back after this. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your healthcare with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger. A group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing healthcare for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org. healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
Cross-examined with Frank Turek.
People almost invariably arrive at their beliefs not on the basis of proof, but on the basis of what they find attractive. And a lot of people find it attractive that Christianity might be false. And so they tend not to either investigate it, or they dismiss it, or they vociferously object to it because a creator interferes with what they want to do.
Cross-examined with Frank Turek, Saturday mornings at 9 Central and Sunday afternoons at 4 Central on AFR Talk.
You can stay up to date with the latest in the culture war from the news team at onenewsnow.com. Read the stories of the day and watch timely videos. Our goal is to present the day's news from a biblical perspective. OneNewsNow.com not only features the latest breaking stories from across the U.S. and around the world, but also news of the challenges that Christians face today. Bookmark OneNewsNow.com.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We're going to Israel in March, March 9 through the 17th. We'll be going to the land of the Bible, the Holy Land. We'll be seeing so many places every day. The days are just full of things you've read about in the Bible. And one of the things that I enjoy about our trip is wearing people out. And we'll be wearing folks out during our trip of Israel, because I know that when folks pay to go to Israel, they want to see it all, and we'll be seeing it all, including Bethlehem, Jericho, Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, Nazareth, and much, much more. Won't you join us on this special tour of Israel in March? For more information, just call us and we'll send you a brochure at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5, or go on the web at twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Congress has just showed why so many Americans are sick of their politicians and ready to throw the bums out. The Senate and House leadership have agreed to President Obama's surrender of your internet to freedom's enemies. The deed was done yesterday when Majority Leader Mitch McConnell pushed through the Senate a funding bill without a prohibition on the internet giveaway. The House is expected to rubber stamp it today. Political cover came from something called the Technology CEO Council. This group of interested parties whose lobbyists give generously to politicians' campaigns blithely assured Congress, quote, placing stewardship of these technical but important functions beyond the control of any one government or group of governments will best secure the principles of internet freedom and depoliticization of technology, unquote. Shame on the CEOs for disseminating such transnationalist rubbish, and the Congress for swallowing it. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
The American people have had it with corrupt Clinton ways. They've had it. They've had it. They're tired of the lies. They're tired of trivial politics. They're tired of being talked down to, looked down upon, and treated like second-class citizens.
Now, that was Donald Trump in Iowa yesterday. Meanwhile, Mrs. Clinton, along with Bernie Sanders campaigning, this is what they said.
We should and we will make public colleges tuition-free
for families earning less than $125,000 a year.
This is a revolutionary proposal for the future of our country with wide-reaching implications. The next president of the United States, Hillary Clinton.
All right, so there you go. Stark contrast, and we could talk hours about free college tuition for people making less than $125,000. And I'm surprised Congress didn't pass that. Just a huge blanket bill paying for everybody's college so they could get home and campaign. I want to go back to what I talked about at the top of the show today, which was the dangerous moral implications of what's happening in our culture. We talked about it in regard to removing control of the internet and coming after people who have deeply held moral religious beliefs, people in Germany who are troubled by the intrusion of so many migrants who are dangerous to their population, who are acting out. They're the ones. The people actually speaking out about Islamists are the ones who are being arrested. Police are coming into their homes. And in France, we just heard that they're shutting down. They want to shut down the internet internet entities that are telling girls they don't need to have abortions and trying to encourage them to keep their babies. That's becoming criminal in France. And then in the United States, in California, the Attorney General, Kamala Harris, is working with Planned Parenthood to write a law to criminalize anyone that exposes things like the trafficking in body parts. And then I told you in the first segment, which I'm going to repeat, because this is something that came out of the Obama's U.S. Civil Rights Commission. And his director said the phrases religious liberty and religious freedom remain code words for discrimination, intolerance, racism, sexism, homophobia, Islamophobia, Christian supremacy, or any form of intolerance. And then on a practical level in this country, we know that Alabama Chief Justice Moore, they've decided that they have 30 days, I think, to examine whether he's going to be removed from his post because of an order that he gave or an explanatory piece that he sent down to lower court judges about how to handle the same-sex marriage case. He can't have an opinion that is contrary to the left, or there is tremendous punishment. Daniel Horowitz is joining me. Daniel, again, is the author of Soul and Sovereignty. He's the senior editor of Conservative Review. Daniel, you just alerted us to another story last week, something that's coming out of Michigan. And I haven't talked about it yet, so please tell them what the judge did there.
Sure. No, I believe you mean Ohio. There's an Ohio school district.
I do mean Ohio. I do.
The Highland Local School District there, just outside of Akron, was forced by a federal district judge, a Clinton appointee, I'll tell you, Sandy, we become desensitized to this because we hear it so much, and that's what the other side does, and they make it seem like it's normal. But to codify the most grotesque contortion of natural law imaginable, the most immutable laws of nature, said that you have to treat this boy that was having many unfortunate problems, like any other mental illness and suicidal, and thought he was a girl, said that you must treat her like the girl she is, and meaning have her use the girl's bathroom, the locker room in the school, and on all documentation and paperwork, use the pronoun for a girl. I mean, we got to step back. As you know, I wrote a book, Stolen Sovereignty, to discuss the true role of the judiciary, the system of government we adopted, and what we can do to take back that power. Our founders, even the ones that were concerned about the judiciary, could have never conjured up that they would create fundamental rights that run contrary to the source of fundamental rights expressed in the preamble of the Declaration. So, I mean, there is no end to this, what's going on. And you talk about Judge Moore. This is our fault, because we have been content since 1988 to promote the lesser of two evils. And that's how, when you get the lesser of two evils and the eviler side gets more evil, well, we get more evil. And we start tolerating it and legitimizing it. And many people in the conservative movement trashed Judge Moore when he originally stood up for the Ten Commandments. Nobody's with him now with the marriage stuff. Well, Daniel, I don't know. Well, I disagree. It's the law of the land. No, it's not. They are the ones engaging in civil disobedience. The judiciary doesn't have this power fundamentally and certainly doesn't have the power to rewrite the 14th Amendment like they're doing. So at some point, we need the states to say no, and that's what Judge Moore is doing. You say, we will not enforce this. We will not, and we're not talking about negative rights, you know, throwing someone in jail. They're the ones throwing our guys in jail, right? So we need more people to stand up. Like I said in my piece, if a man could be a woman, why can't a state be a Supreme Court and control its own destiny?
You know, Daniel, so many things. On the issue of Justice Moore, I want to go on record as saying I have tremendous admiration for him. In fact, when he went through the first national controversy over the Ten Commandments monument, I defended him, and I still do. I went down to and spoke on the steps of the Supreme Court Montgomery defending him, and did that on television and radio. And I actually took on church leaders, Christians, who were probably listening to this broadcast, who disparaged him for doing what he did. It was just for the very reasons you talked about. I saw them run like rats. This is not so bad. We can handle this.
I interrupt. I think it's very important for your listeners. Some of the individuals listed on Donald Trump's dream team list of Supreme Court picks trashed Judge Moore at the time. So
yeah, you're talking about from Missouri. I remember well. The former senator, yep. Talent. Yes, I remember that. Yes, I do remember that very well. So the point you're trying to make is that Christians and whoever, moral people who believe in, you're Jewish, Daniel, and we talk about this all the time, people who embrace the God's moral law as laid out in Scripture, must hold firm. We can't sort of wink at stuff. Now, I think of Matt Staver, who doesn't wink at anything. God bless Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel, and God bless Mark Levin, who doesn't budge on this stuff either. But in Ohio, let me get more particulars in here, Daniel, because you're familiar with the story, and I just read it for the first time this morning. It's a Clinton appointee. It's Judge Marbley, and he is ordering a Highland local school district to allow a child who's a boy, who's referred to as Jane Doe. He's insisting, making them let this boy go into girls' bathrooms and locker rooms. There's been no surgery, no alteration. It's a boy. And he must go into girls' bathrooms and locker rooms, and this by order of a judge. And we know that if people don't comply with this, this is also the same kind of order the Obama, it's the Education Department that has ordered school districts around the country to do the same. Look how quickly we got to this absurd position, Daniel.
Sandy, I don't know how you could get more absurd. Usually you try to illustrate absurdity with some sort of exaggeration, hyperbole. You can't get further than this. I mean, we are in the post-Sodom and Gomorrah abyss. I don't know how you get further than this. But look at how the system is flipped on its head. States were supposed to predominate in all internal orders. On the federal level, Congress is supposed to be the dominant branch. Yet you have the two unelected branches, the bureaucracies and the federal courts, taking a congressional statute from 1972 and also a 14th Amendment ratified in 1868 to say it means transgenderism and to crush the states. And that's what I mean by it's our fault. Because we say, well, you know, we need a constitutional amendment to say a man's a man, a woman's a woman. No! You just say no. It's not just the fact that this is natural law, that you can't change natural law, you can't change God's law, which is the foundation of our foundation. But it's that even if Congress were to pass a law, they don't have that authority to overrule a state on this. So certainly the DOE and the federal judiciary, they don't have that power. This is a constitutional crisis here. It's not a matter of we disagree with the decision or something. They fundamentally don't have that power. A court has the power if someone says, look, I'm about to be executed. I'm going to be thrown in jail. I request relief. So a court could grant relief. But a court can't change a public policy, even something not this absurd. You know, for example, you have certain symbols. I don't like the Ten Commandments. Let's say someone says, I don't like the Ten Commandments. I don't want to take that down. Okay. A court can't change, say, you have a right to get standing in a court to shoot at a statute or a practice like that. they don't have that power. No one's fundamental rights are being violated, even according to the liberal version of fundamental rights, even according to the liberal version of the role of the judiciary. Right? The judiciary has neither force nor will. The founders envisioned that if they would do this stuff, they just wouldn't listen. Ultimately, they need to send out either the marshals or the state law enforcement have to enforce it. So in states like Alabama, they should rally behind Judge Moore and say, no, we're not doing this. And if states did this two or three times, it would stop.
You know, Daniel, what this reminds me of is when Massachusetts was the first state in the union to legalize gay marriage, but they didn't really, and they never have. It was a court decision, to your point. The legislature never changed the law, and Governor Mitt Romney rushed to order that marriage certificates be changed to, I think, person one and person two, or person A and person B, before there was ever a law in the books. They never, to this day, have changed the law in Massachusetts in regard to gay marriage. And this is what your point. The courts don't have the right. They can't enforce. They don't have a right to make law, and yet this is what we are allowing in case after case and state after state. And nobody gives a whimper except to criticize people like Justice Moore, who actually dare to stand.
That's the point. Even conservatives don't get this, and this is what I try to educate in my book, Stolen Sovereignty, is that even mechanically, even according to the liberal version of the judiciary, which is wrong, it doesn't work like that. They don't, quote, strike down laws or rewrite the law. They don't do that. They don't have that power. That's not the system of government we adopted according to any belief. So in this case, you know, they say, well, oh, you have to do this. You have to. No. All they could do is grant relief to an individual plaintiff to say, hey, you know, you can't be fined or thrown in jail. But in order to enforce, say, hey, you know, you have to force private businesses to service homosexual weddings. You can't regulate abortion clinics, right? They don't have that power. And our guys go along with it. Let me just contrast for you what the Democrats do in blue states in the rare instance where courts rule against them. Think of Heller. Let's juxtapose the gun case to the marriage case. So you have Obergefell. The courts say, you know what? The building block of all civilization has changed now. It means three men, two women, a dog, and a picnic bench. And our guy's like, okay, you know, and they just like instantaneously, all 50 states, they don't try to put up roadblocks. Everything's done. Right, and literally, it was just for five or six plaintiffs. That's all it was. You fight it every step of the way. Now let's talk about Heller. You have a fundamental right to own a gun and actually carry. It said carry, too, but the case itself didn't involve carrying. So I live in the state of Maryland. To this day, a decade after that decision, McDonald and Heller, I cannot carry any weapon under any circumstance, in any place, any caliber, outside of my home. And also a lot of guns are banned even in the home. The assault weapons ban in almost every blue state has stood the test of time a decade after Heller because the Democrat governors and legislatures don't give up. They'll just take the limited circumstances of that case. All right, fine, so we won't do it in those cases and apply it everywhere else. Our guys don't do that.
No, they do not do that. You know, Daniel, this is the end of the show, but it occurs to me, we want solutions, and certainly we must vote in this upcoming election and make some hard choices. And we need to remember primaries, and we might need to form a third party. But I would say that ultimately it's going to boil down to each and every one of us preparing our hearts and our minds and steeling ourselves to make some very hard personal choices, which will have consequences. And I want to challenge each and every one of you spiritually to get your hearts right, to get yourself right before the Lord, to get the strength to do what's right. And so that's what I'm praying for in my own life. I really want to finish well. I want to be able to make right choices to the end, don't you? Daniel Horowitz, thank you so much for your time today. We'll put your new article up on our Facebook page as well. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.